Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 2, For the Record, program number 728, Interview with Daniel Hopsicker, Tricky Treats. This program is being recorded on October 30th of the year 2010, and once again, it's my pleasure and privilege to bring back to our airwaves Daniel Hopsicker, the author of Barry and the Boys. Welcome to Terrorland. Many articles on the Mad Cow Morning News and madcowprod.com website, which has the Mad Cow Morning News, and most recently, the editor and producer of the New American Drug Lords video. Don't you wish you could be the editor and video of the New American Drug Lords, Daniel? You could retire young.
Well,
you basically get in on the action and then put the feet up and the good foot down and really live that South Florida lifestyle to the fullest.
Exactly. Exactly.
What you wrote about in
I mean, I have moments where I question why me, what made me feel like I needed to, you know, and the only answer I have, and I want to finish this. I have another anecdote to finish, but my dad hated liars.
Uh-huh.
And he hated being lied to. Anytime I ever lied to him, it was always much worse than if I told the truth. Because he was insulted that you would lie to him. I mean, and I am too. And when I'm insulted, I feel insulted when my government talks to me about so many things that go on. At any rate, well, Hilliard was in business in a company called Spatial with a guy whose name I'm sure you know, Farhad Azimi.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, Contra scandal never broke. They suppressed it. Okay?
By the way, Farhad Azimi was a major weapons trafficker, helping to traffic arms to Iran. And Farhad Azimi also was using a company called Merrick's. But this is in the archives about some of the AFA programs about the Iran-Contra scandal in the late 80s. He also was using a company called Merrick's for some of his operations, which appears to have been the same Merrick's that was a weapons trafficking firm set up by Klaus Barbie and Otto Skorzeny, SS colonel and one of the operational heads of the old Odessa network. So, yes, indeed. Farhad Azimi. Mrs. Azima's baby boy, Farhad. How is the dear fellow these days?
You know, I have to give credit where credit is due. Where I learned about Farhad Azimi was in Pete Bruton's book, The CIA, the Mafia, and the Savings and Loan Scandal. And at that time, Farhad Azimi caused a bank in Oklahoma to go belly up by not repaying loans. And Bruton found that out, and he investigated. And he talked to an FBI investigator who had investigated Azimi over this, and he had been waived off. And for the reason that you and I already know, but we've heard it a million times, that Farhad Azimi had a get-out-of-jail-free card. Okay? In other words, as a member an employee of CIA covert operations, he could not be touched. And you know, reading about him, he was part of a small group that caused 22 savings and loans to collapse at a cost to the American taxpayer of $22 billion.
Which sounds like chump change after what we've seen since. But, you know, it's worth keeping in mind the precedent. You know, when you let these things run out of control, well, you may not think that's that bad. But then all of a sudden, gosh, your whole budget's being used to bail out companies that have these toxic assets on their books.
So you see how this all circles around. And the more I look into it, the more it circles around it. I was, okay, if I had to tell you where this all began, it began with General Claire Chennault and the Flying Tigers in World War II. Claire Chennault was both a U.S. U.S. military, and he was a top military guy in two militaries at the same time. He worked for a Chiang Kai-shek, and under the rubric of anti-communism, he began flying heroin to the west coast of Florida, all the way from South China. And that's why, I mean, at the St. Petersburg Airport, Clearwater Airport, an international airport where two planes took off, they got busted with a cumulative total of 10 tons of cocaine in the Yucatan. You can stand out on the sidewalk in the middle of the day and not see a single car come by, and not see a single plane take off at an international damn airport, okay? But something's going on there, and it's been going on there for a long time. And that explains some of the hostility that I've experienced from the St. Petersburg Times, okay, which and some of this stuff is funny, owns the Poynter Institute, okay, which teaches investigative journalism, okay?
Well, they do. What they do is they point you in the other direction. You know, speaking of same, very quickly, Dan, I just wanted to include something of an aside. You made a brief reference to Pete Bruton, a name not many people know now. Pete Bruton wrote an excellent series for the Houston Post investigating CIA and intelligence community links to the Iran, to the savings and loan failures, and linking that to Contra supply, drugs, the very things that you've investigated. He eventually wrote a book. I think it was called The Mafia, the CIA, and George Bush, although the order of those three, I often get confused. It was a blockbuster book published before the 1992 election, and he was imagining that the publication of this book would essentially rock the political establishment to its foundation, and nobody did a bloody thing, and he retired from journalism because of that. It stands as something of a signpost illustrating exactly what you're talking about.
And he's teaching at a community college in West Texas today. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy who probably, you know, is as good an investigative journalist as ever walked the face of the earth.
Should have gotten a Pulitzer.
You know, honest to God. You know, and I'm in the same situation now. I mean, I don't know how much, you know, much longer I'm going to be able to pursue this. I just spent 2 years working on a two-hour documentary. I mean, I'm looking at having made maybe, you know, 15, 20 cents an hour for my last 2 years worth of work. So I've got to find some funding here pretty quick or drop by the wayside the way Gary Webb did and the way Pete Bruton did. But be that as it may, I just told you about Claire Chennault and the Flying Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading a book published by my buddy Chris up in Oregon called Me and Lee that just came out, I guess, written by Judith Baker.
Right.
Who was a close personal friend, as they say, of Lee Harvey Oswald.
And who, by the way, is discussed at considerable length in Ed Haslam's book, Dr. Mary's Monkey.
Yeah, both of those books I recommend. I mean, if you want to know, see, this is what I found when I got to Louisiana, man. It goes back and back and back and back and back. So Ed Haslam and Judith Baker, you want to know what went on in New Orleans, which affected all of us, no matter where you grew up, where you lived. Those are our books to read, and I see a picture in there of General Claire Chennault with his great good friend, Dr. Alton Ochsner.
Alton Ochsner, yep. Oh, really? They were tight.
Who was probably, you know, Alton Ochsner probably, you know, ran covert operations out of New Orleans for the CIA for decades. I mean, he was investigating, you know, cancer for them. He was doing tons of stuff. And there's Claire Chennault with his great good friend. And Claire Chennault, I discover, is from Louisiana. Well,
it makes sense. Sure, Claire Chennault. Yeah, a Cajun. Yep.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it does make sense. So back to Michael Brassington. And now this is the thing. This is the thing that I think kills me the most about these people. They are so damn arrogant. One of the charges, okay, Michael Brassington flies in to Fort Lauderdale on a plane, N-60S, a Gulfstream 3, that it was an illegal flight based on the indictment, okay? So he's already flying an illegal charter, okay? And he's got a record for heroin trafficking, and the plane's got a record for being used in money laundering, and he's flying in a guy named Anthony Cirillo, who himself has got a record in the system. Watch out for this guy. And what does he do? He has the customs agent who looked through his luggage fired. And, you know, if that's not the most amazing thing you've ever heard.
You know what it reminds me of, Daniel? I don't know if he also is in your video. Obviously, I have not seen it. But another of the guys who intersects the world of the Iran-Contra affair, government-sanctioned drug trafficking, and goes all the way back to the Kennedy assassination, as well as the operations around Venice and that part of Florida. And his last name is Ruth. Is Stephen Ruth? Is that the guy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was wild. He was convicted of attempted murder, and eventually had the DA that convicted him busted or turned out of office, and then he walked.
He's an apparently pretty scary guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's apparently a pretty scary. Yeah, and also he's in Venice. So Michael Brastington gets arrested 4 years ago because finally his activities cannot be shoveled under the rug. I mean, he's maimed two people for life. Okay, the plane, the Challenger that crashed at Teterboro took off the top of a car and nearly top of one guy's head. Okay, he's like a semi vegetable for life. So he gets busted, and what does he do while he waits for the trial? You think he sits around and feels sorry for himself, or you know, because obviously no one's going to hire him? No. He gets three brand new Gulfstreams, and he's loaned those Gulfstreams. In one case, he's loaned them by a man who used to be a special advisor in the White House to President Bill Clinton. A guy by the name of Jeffrey Watson, who Clinton called his go-to guy in Miami. And that's the plane that Brastington was flying around Michael Misak, the premier of the Turks and Caicos, on. And Michael Misak, who was the British, for the first time in the history of the British Empire gave something up and then took it back. They devolved. Turks and Caicos was a dependency. They got its independence, and then they took it back because Michael Misak was so corrupt and running that little island chain as such a fiefdom. He went from having $50,000 when he was elected premier to, according to his ex-wife, being worth over $100 million a few years later.
Well, there's that song lyric, nice work if you can get it, and he got it, obviously, as did Michael Brastington and quite a few others. It's interesting. I was schmoozing with my engineer during the break, Daniel, between the two halves of the broadcast, and we've talked about elite deviants, and obviously you're one of those folks like me who it's kind of like we just didn't get the joke, you know, which is that, you know, this stuff about, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident and, you know, civic integrity and the law and, you know, things, you know, just, you know, wink, wink, yeah, right, department. It's interesting to contemplate the extent to which, if you're going to raise kids, if you're going to maintain any sort of society, in a sense, you've almost got to institutionalize these kinds of laws. Otherwise, people, you know, kids would commit suicide at the age of 10. You know, if they knew what was really ahead of them, and that the bottom line was that there was no law and no jurisprudence and no truth telling and no integrity whatsoever to a society past a point. A lot of them couldn't handle it.
For a certain group of people. I mean, there's law for the rest of us, and there's a certain rough justice, you know, but not for this one group of people. I'll never forget interview I did for Barry and the Boys with the FBI agent who had been tracking Lee Harvey Oswald in New Orleans and who then moved to Dallas when Oswald did and tracked him there, Warren DeBreeze. And he agreed after much coaxing to meet me for lunch, and he was like 83 years old, but his blue eyes were as bright as anyone's I've ever seen, you know, and he was like totally right there. And I went into this interview thinking, of course, that I was going to be the one to get him to talk, and I couldn't, and there's no point. You don't want to insult an 80-year-old man, you know. You don't want to say stop lying, you know. You can't. You know, it's just not. So I took another tack finally, and I said, look, I went to Catholic schools when I was a kid. My nuns taught me I was like a citizen of the greatest democracy that the world has ever known. I said, that's not true. I mean, the consent of the informed You know, I mean, if the citizens don't know what's going on, how can they decide what to do? So, you know, and I'm not allowed to know, you know, who killed Kennedy or why. So I said, wouldn't it have been kinder if they hadn't told me that? And he looked at me, and he said, you know, I said, so we're basically still serfs. That was the word I used. We're still serfs. I mean, you know, we aren't as free as we think we are. You know, we're not allowed to know what goes on. And when he heard the word serf, he kind of like, and yeah. So and his answer was, you know, he said, human nature does not change that fast. Meaning, you know, clearly to me, I mean, I didn't have to ask what he meant. Serfs we were and serfs we remain. You know, this is the 1300s. We haven't, like, evolved far enough, you know, to be, like, given our own. So there are celebrity names associated with this story all the way up and down the line. Every company, the plane that crashed, and the way these people do business now, because there are plane spotters out there tracking CIA planes. So they have become much more devious, the CIA has. They register all their planes in Delaware under blind trust, and you can't get those names. So, I mean, in other words, if a car hits you on the street, you can get the name of you know, certainly the driver, and you can call the DMV, and you can get the name of like who owned the car. You can't do that now. Okay, they're blind, you know, they're LLCs. So they had four or five or six different entities associated with, you know, any charter that was going on. So it was a company in New York City hiring a company in Alabama, hiring a company in Florida. Okay? And you look at any one of those companies. The company in Alabama was owned by a guy named Elton Darby, who manufactured ammunition for the military of World War II. The company in New York was called Blue Star. It's owned by a couple of guys who got rich in the 90s working for a mob-run brokerage that later would bust, Stratton Oakmont. But nobody cares where your money comes from. So one of these guys that owns Blue Star, which hired Michael Brasterton's Platinum Jet Management, has a mansion in Southampton and got divorced a few years ago. And his ex-wife turned around and married a guy that you wouldn't think of as being a really good marriage prospect, a guy who's running for the Senate in Florida right now, Charlie Crist. And the rumors about Charlie Crist, of course, have long been that he's a little light in the loafers, is what my stepdad used to say. So Charlie Crist marries the ex-wife of the guy that owns Blue Star, that got rich working for a mob brokerage. And you just have to, like, you have to shrug your shoulders. And if you have any listeners out there that watch Real Housewives, I'm forced to because I'm living with the girl that watches it. In order to have something to talk about, I have to occasionally watch Real Housewives of New York City or Orange County. I kind of like because I got to see places I used to live. Anyway, the Countess Luann de Lesseps, who was on that show, Real Housewives of New York City, made a fool of herself, and it made all the newspapers.
I can't believe anybody on a reality show would make a fool of themselves.
Well, and she was groping waiters, okay, at a wedding. And the wedding was at this guy's house.
So she's at a wedding, and she's in an altered state of consciousness. The pun there, I guess. But and she's groping waiters?
Yes, she was. That was the allegation. And the wedding took place at this guy, Todd Rome's house, his mansion in Southampton. So, you know, and there's a picture. Now, so, I mean, all of this is local in color, and it's all interesting. But here's the real point. Brasington was disregarding the FAA rules for 10 years because he could, and because he didn't feel he had to. And so why didn't he feel he had to? It was because he was doing something else for which he was given immunity. He was trafficking drugs. I've got a picture of Michael Brassington taken in a hangar in the Turks and Caicos Islands, and he's standing next to his good buddy, Kevin Frater, who, until he got caught about 6 months ago, was on the DEA's top 10 most wanted list for 8 years. Michael Brassington met Wally Hilliard through Kevin Frater, and they're standing in a hangar in the Turks and Caicos Island, which has been a drug transshipment point just since the days of Barry Seal, and they're standing in front of a plane with an M number that, when I ran the ownership of the plane, turns out to belong. And now I got to explain this, because I'm sure your listeners know that in an operation, they'll use one name for 14 different things. I mean, there was a company called Skyway Aircraft in
Houston, wasn't it?
Well, it goes back to that, okay? But you can't. I've never been never found a way to tie James Bath, George W. Bush's great good friend,
okay,
his Skyway aircraft with the Skyway aircrafts in Florida. So I never even mentioned that.
I was wondering about that. Go ahead.
But the Skyway aircraft that owned the plane busted with 5.5 tons of cocaine is not the only Skyway aircraft in the Tampa Bay area. There's another one whose owner vehemently declared he had nothing to do with this other Skyway aircraft. And yet, if anything, he's worse. Because I have discovered at least 7 airplanes that he sold that were very shortly thereafter, not years thereafter, very shortly thereafter, found to be carrying multi-ton loads of drugs. 7. So how many planes did he sell that weren't caught, you have to ask yourself. And his company is called Skyway Aircraft, too. And this picture that I've got of Kevin Frater and Michael Brassington in a hangar in the Turks and Caicos, and the two of them are standing in front of a plane owned by Skyway Enterprises in Kissimmee, Florida, that I had thought had nothing to do with the other two Skyways. Oh, Skyway, that's just a name. Well, obviously, all three of those entities are really one entity.
By the way, I was talking about Merex and Farhad Azimah, for the longest time, I thought the two Merexes were two different companies. And it turns out that they were two different facades for the same company. Go ahead.
That's it. Instead of being chastened by having maimed a few people for life and facing felony drug charges, Brassington began flying three new Gulfstreams, one of which was owned by a crony of Bill Clinton's. And he starts another company, because this is another thing you find. The FAA, I mean, if you thought the SEC was regulating Wall Street, okay, and were sorely disappointed to find out they weren't, well, the FAA is doing nothing in aviation. I mean, general aviation is a business with no adult supervision. So Brassington just starts, there was an emergency order from the NTSB suspending Brassington and his company, Platinum Jet Management, from flying. So what does Brassington do? He starts another company. All you got to do is pay $20 to the state treasurer. And the new company he starts is called Prestige Jets. And who do we find starting another company called Prestige Jets, supposedly separate from his? Wally Hilliard.
Excuse me. But wait,
there's more.
Okay, go ahead.
Who else do we find founding a company called Prestige Jet, and this is obviously the one being referenced by the one owned by Michael Brassington and the one owned by Wally Hilliard?
No.
Who? Kevin Frater.
Okay.
And who's Kevin Frater's partner in this? This Prestige Jet Management is a worldwide company. And Kevin Frater's partner is a German guy with a name I can't pronounce. But he owns Prestige Jet Management. and his business partner is the Emir of Dubai.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, can you spell it? Do you have the name of the German guy in front of you? If you spell it, I can take a crack at it.
Okay. I will. I got that document here.
So I'm just wondering if it's somebody I've come across, because so many of these names, you'll bring somebody up that you've come across tracking these tributaries to him, and I say, whoa, no, not him. You know, it's somebody that has tracked through the archives at some point over the last 30-plus years that I've been doing this.
Okay. Well, what I can tell you about him, I got his name here now, but I'm going to tell you the rest of the anecdote first, then I'll give you his name. This guy, this German guy, who I'd never heard of before.
And who's a business partner of the Emir of Dubai with prestige.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a business partner of Kevin Frater.
Yep, okay.
Who worked for Wally Hilliard and introduced Michael Brassen to Wally Hilliard and was on the DEA's top 10 most wanted list until recently.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's son, I don't know why the anecdote's, I mean, you know.
We got about 3 minutes left.
So this guy's son was engaged last year to Tara Reid, Starlet Tara Reid. And his father made him sign a prenup and Tara Reid lost interest. And anyway, his name is Siegfried E. Axtmann, A-X-T-M-A-N-N. Siegfried Axtmann.
Okay.
German fellow. I don't know anything more about him except he's in business with Kevin Frater in a company called Prestige. And that is a worldwide company, which sells stuff everywhere. So
is Prestige, at least the one that Axtmann and the Emir of Dubai are running, is this a fairly well-known entity? Because obviously a lot of these air proprietaries are things that, you know, would only be known to the small circle of friends, as Tom Rush sang.
But these
are pretty well-known.
Well, yes, this is the main deal. I mean, they have a major FBO in Germany.
So in other words, let me just butt in real quick, Daniel, as we're last minute. This Prestige, this is one of the areas where the underworld meets the overworld. You know, this is where the brand name meets what we're all supposed to regard as shady characters who have no influence. And, well, you know, they'll be brought. They'll get their just desserts at some point.
Hey, apparently so. You know, I mean, all I can tell you is what I found out. You know,
interesting.
These are code words. They're code words. Back in the day of Barry Seal, I found a number of companies associated with him that had been named Trinity. All the way from, you know, at Nickashoggi's farm outside of Louisville to a company through which he supposedly laundered money that was eventually sold to a company owned by or helmed by Tony Coelho, the disgraced congressional bagman from the late 1980s. So, I'm sure your readers, your listeners rather, know that they use code words. So if you own a prestigious management and, you know, you meet someone who says, well, I fly for Prestige, you know, you guys are thick as thieves. Is that what they say?
That is what they say, and it's appropriate. Daniel, we are down to our last 10 seconds here.
Right.
So the Axtmann cometh, so to speak. New American Drug Lords, your new video. If people have been wondering, you know, wow, how do you make these kinds of connections? I'd like to know more about some of these people. These people and these elements are discussed in the New American Drug Lords, no?
Yeah, oh, yeah. As much as I could pack into 2 hours and 15 minutes.
And you can get that www.madcowprod.com. That's also where the articles are, and through there you can also order Welcome to Terrorland, and hopefully before too much longer, Barry and the Boys. There's lots more there, but we are out of time. So this concludes Side 2, For the Record program number 728, interview with Daniel Hopsicker, Tricky Treats. This has been recorded on October 30th of the year 2010. For Daniel Hopsicker, this is Dave Emery saying thanks for listening.